Welcome to the Colin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. I'm Al Cornell. Appreciate you joining me. So what do you guys think of the results of that election? Boy, that's pretty darn interesting. We're going to be chatting about that on the daily editorial, probably, and certainly in the weeks ahead. It's an interesting direction that we're going in, to say the least. You know, over the years, I have always stressed the importance of doing your own research. This program is all about investing, specifically investing in hard assets and in the publicly traded companies that are involved in that particular segment. And whenever I come across something that I think provides you folks with a really, really good way to research, A, the market in a macro sense, and B, the companies involved in that market, I bring it to your attention, and I've got a really good one for you right now. When I was in Toronto about a month or so ago, I met a very, very interesting gentleman by the name of Ian Campbell. Ian has what I think is perhaps one of the best, if not close to being the best, website out there that meets all of my criteria in terms of allowing myself and my listeners to do effective research. The name of the website is Stock Research Portal, and I've got Ian Campbell with me right now. Ian, thanks for joining me, my friend. I appreciate it.
Well, Al, thank you very much for having me on your show.
Let's just talk briefly, if we could, just a little bit about your background. Just to take a minute or so and tell listeners where Ian Campbell is coming from.
Well, on the assumption that your listeners, by and large, are an American audience, by training and background, I'm what an American would refer to as a CPA, although I really haven't ever practiced as one. For my adult life, I have given opinions on the value of public and private company shares where the shareholders of those companies are fighting over the value. And I built my consulting practice, which is called Campbell Valuation Partners, based in Toronto, by giving seminars and writing the books that the lawyers and accountants in Canada use when they run into a difficult valuation matter involving a public or private company.
You know, that really, in my mind, is a very, very apropos background. And the reason I say that is because you had to do some, you know, significant education in order to do that. And I think that puts you in a really good position to do what you're doing right now. Okay, why did you start Stock Research Portal? Why'd you start the website?
Well, I'm, at the moment, 68 years old, and when I was 62, I decided the time had come to turn my practice over to young people, and I did that. And all of a sudden, I ended up with a whole lot of time on my hands. While I still have an active role in the practice, even now, it's very much reduced time-wise. And so I started managing my own money in 2003. And I concluded in 2005, having had a fair amount of success for 2 years in managing that money, that the U.S. consumer was going to run out of spending gas, because I concluded that that they were borrowing against their houses and spending at least 25%, if not more, of what they were spending by doing that. And I got very interested in the resource sector and concluded in the fall of 2005 that I wanted to own nothing but resource stocks and, to some degree, precious metals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I converted everything I had into those sectors and began using about 6 resource websites that enabled me to identify companies that looked interesting. And then I'd call the presidents of the companies and I'd talk to them and then go visit them if I was very interested in the company. But I found it to be a very inefficient way of doing things. I was looking at as many as 8 resource websites at various times. And I was finding bits and pieces here or there, and it would take me up to 5 or 6 or even 7 or 8 hours to research a company before I was prepared to buy any of the stock. And so I thought there's a better way of doing it. And so the long and the short of it is that I put together an outline of a website, took it to a bunch of company presidents who were very enthusiastic, and that was the beginning of StockResearchPortal.com, which I have spent the last 3 years of my life at.
You know, I have to tell you, it is, we are providing, by the way, just an aside here, we provide a link on our homepage to Stock Research Portal, to the website. And the reason I'm doing that, again, you know, I get old and I repeat myself a lot, but I got to tell you, this is a great, great website. Ian, in your mind, what differentiates your website from the other resource websites out there?
Well, first of all, I have what I call an investment hierarchy. I don't believe people ought to really be investing in the markets unless they have at some level a reasonable understanding of valuation and investment concepts and practice. And so Stock Research Portal is structured the way I think. So at a 20,000-foot level, there is an e-learning section in the website dealing with valuation and investment education. At 10,000 feet, I don't think you ought to be investing unless you have at least an opinion of your own on the macroeconomic circumstance,
right,
which I think is critically important to investors. And there's a section on economic research as a second segregated section.
Mm-hmm.
Third, you got an understanding of an industry, in my view, and there's industry education sections. And then finally, from my consulting practice dealing with public companies, I know you can't get down below 1,000 feet because you just plain don't have insider information that the management and the board has of a company. But there is very detailed, all-in-one-place data for each of the 1,550 TSX and venture resource companies, mining, oil, and gas, that are currently resident in our company universe.
Here's an interesting question, and here's something that I think is probably going to differentiate. If I'm correct in this answer, and I think I am, this differentiates you from an awful lot of other websites. In order for those 15, in order for your database, okay, those 1,500 and some odd companies, do they have to pay to be on your website?
No, they do not.
Well, that, I'll tell you, my hat's off to you, because there are not using this specifically as an income, a revenue model, you know, to garner revenue from the companies, Ian, my hat is off to you, and I mean that. I could not give a stronger endorsement than I'm doing right now. All right, Mr. Campbell, what do you think? I mean, what are your views on the resource industry as a place to invest and trade, and who do you think are going to be the most successful investors down the road?
Well, that's sort of two questions, so breaking it up, first of all, from my perspective, I haven't changed my mind since I decided the resource sector was where I wanted to be in the fall of 2005. I think resources going forward are absolutely a place that investors have to be looking hard at, and obviously they need to, in my view at least, continue to monitor the macroeconomic circumstance to make certain that doesn't change. But long and short of it, I believe resources are clearly a place to be, and they're certainly a place I plan to be. Second question you ask had to do with what do I think the most successful investors are going to be all about. And I'm all about education for investors and empowering investors, because I genuinely believe that the most successful investors going forward are the ones that are going to take the most responsibility for their own investments and not simply rely on others.
Real quick, in a nutshell, what are you trying to accomplish here with your portal?
Well, in a nutshell, what I'm trying to do is I'm absolutely trying to bring this portal, which is about maybe a 6 or 7 out of 10 by any standard of excellence I have, to be something that can provide well-filtered, because that's key to the web going forward, accurate and easily understood data that results in highly efficient research. Simple as that.
Simple as that. You know what? Take a look at this thing again. We provide a link on our homepage to the Stock Research Portal. It is one you really, really want to consider. Don't consider this to be an advertisement, you guys, because it's not. I'm just trying to give you the best sources of information that I can find anywhere.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
GCN and Battery Station are proud to participate in the 8th Annual Christmas Drive for the Troops. This year, we're sponsoring the 171st Alpha Troop Ghost Squadron Sniper Unit high up in the mountains of Afghanistan. The conditions will be cold and miserable for these terrorist hunters this Christmas, but we aim to provide these fine troops with the best Christmas possible. A list can be found at batterystation.com. That includes simple items like gloves, socks, unscented bar soap, toothbrushes, and other necessities. To see a list of more desired items or to make a donation, go to batterystation.com or call 417-257-7799 for more information on how to contribute and help show the 171st Alpha Troop that they may be thousands of miles away in the hills of Afghanistan, but they remain close to our hearts. GCN and Battery Station appreciate everyone's help letting the 171st know how much we care, and thank you from the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you? When you're sick, get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea, T-E-A.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great, and we'll help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. You know, you got to admit, Ian Campbell's a very, very interesting guy. I have to tell you from firsthand experience, his website is really, really worth going to, and I cannot stress that enough. This guy is, he's not necessarily, you know, he's a retired, very successful business guy, accountant, et cetera. He's not in it for the money. He's in it for the passion, and I got to tell you, I think it's one of the best out there. Okay, speaking of one of the best out there, I'm chatting right now with Roger Wiegand. Roger does a daily contribution to our show in two aspects. He does a daily editorial, and he also does a daily market close, which we certainly appreciate. And I know you guys find that to be very, very valuable. Roger, I want to get your comments on what the Federal Open Market Committee announced last Wednesday regarding QE2, the quantitative easing. I got to tell you, man, I don't think it's going to work long term, and I think it's great for the precious metals markets. What's your opinion?
Absolutely agree. We in our forecast said that they would do $500 billion in this quarter,
yeah,
and would do $500 billion in each quarter for the first three quarters of next year for a total of $2 trillion.
Yeah. Well, they came
One
up
of
with,
our colleague
yeah.
friends did say that if they go past $1,700,000,000, which is, I'm saying they will,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be crack up boom time.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I don't know where he got that number, but the guy's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Now, what's happened here is that, of course, the dollar took a dive.
Mm-hmm.
Gold and silver went up. We did predict this.
Mm-hmm.
Gold and silver did both on December futures touch resistance at the highs. Silver went to $26.10 and backed off, which we said would happen because 26 is technical resistance on gold. Our former high was $13.87.50, and today the gold hit $13.84.80, and then it backed off. But actually, it's still pretty close. It's at $13.82 right now. I think that that was wave three. We can continue up in wave three and go higher, Elliott wave, or we can back off on a four tomorrow or Monday and then go long again. And if, in fact, those two highs that I just mentioned can be broken, I think you'll see silver at $30 quickly and gold at probably $1,400 to $1,448.
Big number. I have to tell you, I am very, very optimistic about the future of gold. I've said this a million times. I got to quit repeating myself so much because people are going to think I'm getting funny in the head because I talk about that so much. But I really, really am convinced, Raj, that we're in the perfect storm for gold. I don't think there's any question whatsoever about that. And I think the same is true for silver. You know, a fellow by the name of Andre Julian is going to be on in the second segment, and it'll be interesting. He's going to talk about this quantitative easing thing also, and it'll be interesting to see if he agrees with us. But I got to tell you, you know, it just in my mind makes absolutely zero economic sense. I mean, I don't know why they're doing it.
Well, they pushed it in the 1930s and proved that it didn't work. It collapsed. In a more recent example, Japan tried it, and it worked for a brief period of time, and then the stock market collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is that it's not having any effect. When an economy is at a juncture where it's fairly young in a cycle, it can have some effect because the stimulus is rather quick and instant, and it's profound, and it's felt right away. But we're on the tail end of this program, and they've poured so much cash into quantitative easing already that it literally is having no effect. And the main reason, I think, is that not only is the mountain of cash overwhelming the ability to buy it, but the foreigners who have been the major buyers, China and Japan, of our bonds, bills, and currencies, are running from this paper as fast as they can. They're converting it into hard assets all over the world, whether they be oil, minerals, or whatever. So you're seeing that they're pushing on a string. It's not working anymore. They're driving the dollar down, which they really want to do because it makes our exports cheaper. The commodity sector is just going to fly.
You know, I don't see how anybody could dispute that one. Okay, well, let's talk about some predictions. Where do you see gold at the end of the year? Where do you see silver at the end of the year, Ron?
Well, if we can get through a couple of spots, as I mentioned, the end of the year would be $1,448.50. Call it $1,450 to be round. Silver at $30 and some change. Into next year, we did some stretched-out technicals, and they are mind-boggling. I mean, I'm looking at $1,550, $1,600 for gold on the June futures for next year,
mm-hmm.
middle of next year. And silver, we're looking at probably at least $50. Now, people should keep in mind there's two hard resistance points for silver, one at 26, one at 30, and one at 48.50. So when it hits those numbers, it'll back off a little bit, but it's not going to stop.
I don't think it's going to stop at all, you know, and I have to tell you, I think that people ought to hedge their bets right now, and I think that they ought to be putting, you know, on a regular basis, you know, a small portion of their assets into precious metals. I really believe that. You know, it's we're living in times, man, that I never ever thought that we would ever see, and I know that you didn't either. It's just, you know, it's just very, very frightening. You know, when Ben Bernanke and the guys look at what happened in Japan with the QE, quantitative easing, how can they possibly think it can work over here?
Well, they've pinned themselves into a corner, painted themselves into a corner, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and they've got no other choice.
Yeah.
Germany and the UK and Canada, I don't think Canada so much, but the UK and Germany are tightening up. They're stopping the spending. The UK is embarking upon a very severe austerity program, and the people that are watching this are saying they're making a big mistake and they're going to just crash that whole economy. But, you know, my contention is that crash now is probably not as bad as crash later. Germany, Mrs. Merkel, is really tough, and I admire her a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to split off from Euroland, and they are the powerhouse behind all those countries. And when they do that, it's going to severely hurt the others in the Euroland index, so to speak. All the little babies are going to fall down first, but then some of the bigger ones like Spain and Italy are going to crunch too.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the bond market in Ireland today is absolutely going critical.
Hmm. What's going on over there?
Well, they were stretched out on some quantitative easing and on some bonds. They couldn't meet the credit demands. The bills overran what the income could be, and as it is right now, their bond market is at the point where nobody wants to touch the paper, and they're in an absolute flat-out emergency, just like Iceland that fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who's going to jump in and save them, or in fact, is the country going to go bankrupt? I don't know.
Interesting times, to say the least. Great time to be involved in precious metals, and that's really, I got nothing more to say other than that. I'm going to be right back with Rick Ackerman, great technical analyst. Let's see if Rick shares the same opinion that Roger and I have. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com, one of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish and at M10 gas masks are 3 for $30. And Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MaineMilitary.com has them. Plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179. 877-608-0179. MaineMilitary.com. The main name in military supply.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. I'm here with Rick Ackerman. Rick is going to give his views on a couple of the major events that happened this last week. Number one, the election results, which I found not to be surprising at all. And number two, on the $600 billion quantitative easing that was announced on Wednesday. Boy, I have to tell you, Rick, just let's talk about the quantitative easing first. That's going to do nothing but bolster the price of precious metals, man.
For sure. I mean, you've got they've been very active the last couple of days, and it's really hard to let go. You know, you see these things in parabolic moves. You think I got to jump off, but I think this is the time to, if you haven't jumped on yet, it's the time to think about it.
When you say jumped on, what are you talking about?
Well, jumped on board either some silver or investment play. You know, in my own newsletter, we're looking at a couple stocks that are very well leveraged, silver, Wheaton for one.
Yeah.
But I've got a lot of futures traders as well, and we're in and out of gold and silver on a daily basis, just trying to play the moves, but without straying too far from the exits if we get kind of if we get a nasty sell-off.
Roger Wiegand is predicting $30 silver right around the corner. Would you agree with that?
That's my target. I've used what I call the hidden pivot method to project 30.005 on the December COMEX contract. So that's exactly where I think it's going. But even as a silver bull, I'd be careful when it gets up there.
Now, when you say I'd be careful, what do you mean by that?
30 is a big number, you know.
Yeah,
it's obvious that both gold and silver meet round number resistance, gold every $100, silver at every dollar interval.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, each time silver comes up against 26, 27 right now, there's a bit of resistance there. But 30 is going to be a milestone, really. So I would say because of that and because of the fact for me that I've got a target right there, that it's a good place to secure your profits, take partial profits, maybe do some option rights against any stock positions you may hold.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people right now are saying, boy, this is a frothy market like we had when silver was, you know, north of $50 here a number of years ago, and when gold was north of $800 a number of years ago. And they're saying, you know, we think there's going to be a significant correction. I totally disagree, but what does Rick Ackerman say?
I agree with you. You know, when you look at charts, you'll see if you put up a stochastic indicator, which gives you something called overbought and oversold conditions, a lot of technicians say, geez, we're really overbought here. This thing is pretty dangerous. But in fact, most of the really strong rallies occur with stochastics in the extreme overbought range. So, you know, the best parts of moves usually occur over a relatively brief interval when you consider the entire length of the move, and it's not going to be any different with silver. You know, if you let go too early, you're going to miss the big piece of it. And nobody needs to be reminded also that $50 is an article of faith with the real silver bulls. It's like they've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is a great bull market, which I think it is, silver's going to get to 50.
Got another question for you, talking, you know, getting away from precious metals and getting into the energy sector. I listened to President Obama's comments, specifically the news conference he did on the Wednesday immediately following the election, and he led me to believe with his comments about natural gas, energy independence, et cetera, that we could be in for one heck of a strong market in the area of natural gas, specifically talking about some of the junior players in that area. Do you agree with me on that one?
I am not too deeply involved in the natural gas market. In fact, I'm going to tell you that I don't understand it. You know, I saw natural gas come down from $14 to $2 or $3, and it didn't do anything for my heating bill. So it's kind of an odd market, but obviously it's a very interesting and place to watch because this country has very good natural gas resources.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's a good play. In that instance, I'm probably going to agree with President Obama.
In that one instance.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about the way he handled the way the election turned out, Rick?
You know, I got so switched off by his answer to a question early in that conference. You know, a woman said, is it possible you just don't get it? And he went on such a tangent there that I thought, well, you know, there's no point in hanging around for whatever else he says. But, you know, when I read the quote-unquote reviews after the speech, after the press conference, it looked like he came around a little bit. But it's interesting that there was such a wide range of opinion on what he'd actually said.
Yeah.
You know, some of the newspapers seized on this idea of we really took a shellacking. They put that word shellacking in the headline.
Mm-hmm.
But my gut feeling, I don't trust the guy.
Yeah, whether or not you can trust the guy or not trust the guy, I mean, I've gone on record numerous times and said, you know, I really don't agree with his policies. What I find to be interesting, though, is that in Friday's Wall Street Journal, and here's a direct quote, Republicans in Congress, emboldened by their party's gains in the midterm election, signaled Thursday they would give little ground in negotiations with President Barack Obama and Democratic lawmakers over taxes and other policy. That troubles me because, you know, I think the answer to our problems really, really lies in discourse and effective discourse and compromise as opposed to simply stonewalling because you believe the other side is crazy. That doesn't work in my mind.
Well, I'm with Boehner on that one. You know, Boehner basically said we're not going to compromise on principle.
Okay.
And it's clear that this election is was such a landslide that that principle is involved. You know, I'm not buying at one bit this idea that the voters are quote unquote frustrated. That's quite a euphemism coming from our president.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, it's not frustration. The politics and policy have shifted so far to the left under Obama that we're just short of rioting. So I think it's good for Boehner to hang tough And even if it gridlocks Congress, would that be such a bad thing for any of us, really?
Now, I want to stress, and I want to be really clear on this, because oftentimes I'm not really clear in some of the things that I say, but I want to be really clear that I agree completely that the Democratic policies, a lot of the Democrats' policies, are wrong. You know, health care, I think, is absolutely wrong. That's not to say that I don't think that everyone in the world should be, or everyone in the United States shouldn't be entitled to some type of health care. But the president's plan, in my opinion, is crazy. I mean, our country is so far in debt, we have to cut the entitlements, you know, and we have to stimulate the economy, not with quantitative easing, but there are other ways to do it that would be just as effective. You know, as an example, let's talk about some user taxes. Let's talk about things like that to raise the revenue. But I think the two sides really, really need to kind of listen to what each other are saying. And then rather than say we're going to close the door and not let you in the room, we've got to say, all right, what can we do? We're in a real big mess right now. Let's work together to get us out of this.
I think as a practical matter, when you talk about raising revenues here or there,
yeah,
if the Republicans say they're going to stand on principle, it's got to go to this idea that we will raise taxes, they're against tax raises, really, but in any concessions at all, we're going to have to see drastic cutbacks on the expenditure side.
Exactly. I mean, exactly. The only way that we're going to get out of this huge debt that we're in, you know, and I want to say one thing here. There is an economist at Boston University by the name of Lawrence Kotlikoff who says the U.S. government debt isn't $13.5 trillion. It's about 14 times higher than that, which would put it at about $200 trillion. Let's get real, he says. The United States is bankrupt. I agree. It's time for bold action. I mean, you know, the United States, you look at our accounting statements, they're just like any other business. You know, expenses simply cannot continue to overshadow expenditures. 30 seconds. Agree, disagree, comments?
I completely agree. And you know, the cutbacks in expenditures are being forced on these states and municipalities. There's a disaster there, but they're having to meet it head on because they can't print money. And I don't think the federal government can ultimately come to the rescue because the money that it uses comes from the same source, the taxpayer.
I agree. We're in for some challenges, you guys. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
Pure water. What could be better than the gift of health for your loved ones? And who better to help you give the gift this holiday season than BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com? If those on your gift list are drinking or bathing in unfiltered city or well water, chances are that water is contaminated with rust, bacteria, chlorine, and fluoride. For just pennies a day, Berkey Water Filters remove dangerous contaminants from both well and city water, is powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, and is great for camping and emergencies. Right now, GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems and free shipping on orders over $50. Purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or the new Sight Class spigot absolutely free. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Give the gift of health at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendivite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and 5 other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendivite.
Extendivite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendivite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I am Al Corlin, and I appreciate you joining me. I have a new guest on the program, a very, very interesting guy. His name is Ian Fletcher. Ian is a research fellow at the California Office of the U.S. Business and Industry Council. This is a Washington think tank that was founded back in 1933. Prior to joining that, he was an economist in private practice, primarily serving hedge funds, private equity firms, etc., graduate of Columbia University and the University of Chicago, and he lives in San Francisco. Very, very interesting guy, I have to say. Ian has written a book on free trade that is a very, very interesting book. I have talked with him about it, and I think it really merits your attention. Ian, first of all, a brief description of the book, and then tell our listeners why you wrote this particular book.
Well, thanks for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure.
Basically, this book is about the fact that if you're wondering why America's economy isn't coming back after stimulus, after cutting interest rates close to zero, a big part of that is because of our free trade problem. Now, America has free trade. The rest of the world doesn't. As a result, the United States is running a huge multi-hundred-billion-dollar-a-year trade deficit, and that's killing our jobs, and we're losing our industries, not just the primitive industries, but the high-tech industries of the future are moving overseas.
Yeah, they really are. Now, you were mentioning off the air, you were telling me that you're thinking that a lot of the questions, opinions, etc., around free trade, really, people are coming not necessarily from the economic views of the pros and cons of it, but more from the political slash emotional views, right?
Yeah, well, I was commenting on the fact that the reason I wrote my book, which is called Free Trade Doesn't Work, What Should Replace and Why, and is available on Amazon.com, is because if you look at the existing books that have been written on the topic since the early 1990s, there was Patrick Buchanan's book and Ralph Nader's book, to give an example from both the left and the right.
Mm-hmm.
These books don't actually tell you very much about the actual economics of free trade and why it's bad in a quantitative economic sense. Now, I know the minute you say quantitative, a lot of people think, okay, there's a bunch of mathematical mumbo-jumbo. This must be a very hard book. But My intention in writing this book is that I wanted to take the kind of thinking that is available to economists who actually look at this honestly, because most economists in this country don't have a clue about it. But there are some people out there who are doing good work on it. And I wanted to make that thinking available to ordinary concerned citizens. My model was a kind of popular science books that you could, get that explain scientific discoveries in a way that the average person can get their head around and enjoy. So that's what I set out to do, and I would like to believe that I made it.
This is an issue that is very near and dear to my heart. I have had numerous conversations on the issue with Congressman Ron Paul, Republican from Texas. He feels, you know, obviously, being the conservative that he is, he isn't exactly a real big proponent of free trade. But Ron is also a very smart man, and he feels he's got some very, very solid, and I would agree with him, economic reasons to say that the free trade really isn't in the best interest of the United States necessarily. And I would say that I would agree with that. You know, my question to you is, the United States really, I mean, as an economist, okay, the United States is really, really in bad shape right now. I just watched President Obama's, you know, speech and news conference regarding the outcome of Tuesday's election. And I thought he handled that very graciously, by the way. But we're in a mess right now that we haven't been in since, you know, the Great Depression of the 30s. And some would argue that it's even almost that bad today. How did we get to this point in your mind?
Well, to answer your questions in order, I know Ron Paul's ideas about free trade. What his basic point is that the United States does not have real free trade. We have one-sided free trade. America's trade with the rest of the world is about 99% free, and I base that assertion on the fact that our tariffs are now well under 1% of the volume of our imports. But Ron Paul is also a libertarian, so he believes that free trade would, in fact, be a great idea if the rest of the world reciprocated it. Now, the reality is that the founding fathers of this country understood this game 200 years ago, and for most of American history, we were not a free trade country.
Mm-hmm.
We only became a free trade society after World War II when, thanks to the Cold War, we threw our markets open to the rest of the world as a bribe to the rest of the world not to go communist, basically. We wanted to build up their economies and tie them to dependence upon the U.S. At the time, this meant countries like South Korea, Italy, all the countries in the 40s and 50s, we were worried about their going communist. We wanted to prop them up and make them dependent on us.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we embraced free trade. There was never any point in American history, and I went looking for this when I wrote the book. When I wrote, there's a chapter in my book, Free Trade Doesn't Work,
mm-hmm.
about history. One of the questions I had is, I knew the country started out as a protectionist country. If you have a $10 bill in your wallet, look at the guy on the 10. It's Alexander Hamilton, first Secretary of the Treasury, intellectual architect of American capitalism, and one of the great thinkers of protectionism in world history. So anyway, how did we get from there to where we are today? What was the moment at which people suddenly decided that the economics of protectionism, which had worked very well and made America transition from being an agricultural backwater, because this was a third world country in 1776, don't forget
mm-hmm.
that,
sure,
to being the greatest industrial power the world had ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So protectionism worked pretty well for us, and then we walked away from this policy. So, okay, what's the great discovery that somebody made at some point where they decided, okay, no, that economics isn't right after all? Well, it never happened. There's no point in American history when economists or policymakers or anybody else suddenly said, aha, free trade really is better. We never figured that out because it isn't true. We just made a political decision to win the Cold War.
I would mention one thing that, and I need a little education here from, I mean, I too have a degree, in an undergraduate degree in economics, but it sounds to me like you've gone a lot farther than that. But I believe personally that free trade right now is one of the reasons that the United States economy is really on the ropes. I mean, how many of the, we don't have a manufacturing base anymore, for God's sakes.
Well, I agree with you. Now, let me split your statement into two.
Okay.
I think it's absolutely correct that one of the major reasons our economy is not recovering is free trade, because when you have a trade deficit, okay,
mm-hmm.
here's what happens. When you try to get out of a recession by engaging in stimulus spending, that's the old Keynesian playbook following John Maynard Keynes, the economist from the 30s, the British guy. Okay, he doesn't get any respect, but his playbook is the only playbook anybody knows, liberal or conservative, for how to get out of a recession. It's what we've always done, which is what everyone does anywhere in the world. Now, you spend money on stimulus. You spend money you don't have, but when people spend that money, that puts people back to work. That causes work to get done. That causes factories to switch on the lights and products to get produced that otherwise wouldn't. And then these workers spend their money on other products, which puts other people back to work. And the whole thing recycles, and that's how you restart a stalled economy, right?
Yeah.
Okay? It makes a reasonable amount of sense, though some fiscal conservatives don't like the idea of spending money you don't have. But still, that's what everybody does. It's what... So here's the problem. When you run a massive trade deficit, when you spend money, that money doesn't get recycled into the American economy. A huge chunk of it just leaks abroad and ends up stimulating the economy in Guangdong and South Korea, not here.
Right.
So that's why I think that we've been unable to start up the stalled economy despite incredibly aggressive stimulus. I mean, we've had huge stimulus packages. We have bailout after bailout. They've pushed interest rates almost down to zero.
Yeah.
And it's not coming back up. And it's because the stimulus is leaking abroad. It's not recycling into our economy like it's supposed to.
Ian, we've got about a minute left here. Let me ask you one other question. Okay, you mentioned John Maynard Keynes, you know, the English economist, you know, and you mentioned the fact that everyone seems to believe that Keynesian economics is the only way to work, et cetera. There is the other side of the track, and is fervently held that the Austrian school is the best way to, you know, to have economies prosper over the long term. Your view on that, really quick, if you would give it to me.
Actually, Keynes is not someone that a lot of people believe in. As I said, he's a guy who doesn't get any respect. But when the chips are down, the things that he said, which is stimulate the economy by spending money you don't have, that's the only thing anyone has ever done, anyone has the nerve to do, and it's the only thing that works. The Austrian idea, I'm familiar with their ideas, but it basically amounts to if you hang on to austerity long enough, eventually things will come back on their own. There's no government in history that had the nerve to do that. Herbert Hoover was the last Austrian president.
Yeah.
Look what happened to him.
That's a really interesting point. Ian Fletcher, listen, pleasure to have you on the show. If you folks are interested in this book, and you should be, click on the banner that we have on our website. That'll tell you more about it. We're going to get this guy back. Hey, stick around. Big Al's going to be back for the second hour of the show.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.